when the breath of life goes forth from the body, the soul perishes. And it can be brought back. God can bring the souls back. But from the second death, there is no return. He will not bring them back. But there will be no more further death, sorrow, crying, or any pain. Just for the redeemed. Okay, that's what you think? That really takes the teeth out of this, because this really seems like like God's trying to let us know here in this verse, in this chapter, that all that stuff, the sorrow, the torment, it's all passed away. The torment forever and ever, people argue about the language of that. What does the forever and ever mean? What is the, is this a figure of speech? And I'm sure people have noticed, I try not to get too deep into that, because I believe that the scripture should be understandable to the average person on the surface of it. And if people would stop messing with our minds, I think it'd be easier for us to do. You just have to have a view of the whole picture, and I think it's easier to fall into place. We have to be able to strip away the conditioning and also increase the scope of our knowledge, and that will help us in understanding. I feel like I want to labor it as much as I can, because I don't feel like I want to just let it go, because verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I think that he put that verse in, knowing the heresies that would exist. And this is to let us know that whatever we might be thinking about what we read, it's coming to an end. If you misunderstood what he wrote about in Revelation 20, but he's used the terminology of men. Just because he uses man's terms, like the torment, the touchstone, an examination, we should not presume that it means the same thing to God. That his idea of torment might be very different from our ideas. Meaning, when we want to prove something, what it is, how do we do it? Well, we put the thumb screws in, don't we? That's how we get a confession. That's how we get to know what the metal's made of. We put the thumb screws in, we put them on the rack. We waterboard. When we want to know the truth, we waterboard. We do wicked things. But if God wants to extract the truth, what does he do? Does he extract it? Does he torture as men torture? Does he show the provenance of the gold, the silver, the brass, what it is? Does he put it to the touchstone as we would? Is it right for us to assume that? This verse is very clear. A lot of people read this and they understand. And I think it's not to be overlooked that it comes right here. So anyways, he sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's going to be a new city. The city's called the Mother of Us All, Holy Jerusalem, which descendeth down from God out of heaven. It was said in the book of Hebrews that, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, and all the Old Testament saints, that they were looking for a country, for a city whose builder and maker is God. They confessed that this was not their home, ultimately speaking. That is the city whose citizenship we seek. That is where the city, the everlasting city, where eternal life prevails. And we do not want to be left out of that. In the new heaven and the new earth. The earth has been old before. Yeah, the word new here is kainos, which means new in regard to character, fresh. There's another new neos, which is in regard to time. Which one means what? Don't worry about it. Get there. It'll be filled with wonder. The tabernacle of God, God's dwelling place, is going to be with men. And he will dwell with them. And this is the ultimate goal, to become the sons of God, to dwell with God. And to create this world, the world that is coming, God made this world to prepare people. to dwell in that world so that they could be heirs of God. And you could ask the question, well, why did he do this? I don't understand. Why would it be like this? And my best answer is this is the way that seemed best to him. Very simple. And through a lot of study and through meditation and thought, I see how that makes sense to me. And I could, talk sometime about why I think that makes sense, but it does lead into a bit of intruding. We don't want to intrude too deeply into the counsels of God that he has not revealed to us, because then we become vainly puffed up by our fleshly minds, intruding into things which we have not seen. We can get into trouble. Many men have taken what seems right to them and made doctrines of it, and in my mind, perverted the truth and gone astray. And they started exalting their thoughts and their opinions above what is written. And in that way, become the enemies of the truth. And I don't want to do that. But this is what they generally talk about when they want to talk about heaven. That new heaven and the new earth. But as I often say, I am not trying, I don't believe in going to heaven as it is generally thought of in the popular Christian pop beliefs. You die and go to heaven, of course, right? You die, and where do you go? You go into heaven. The scriptural teaching is when you die, you go into hell, the grave. Just as Christ himself went into hell, the grave. As it is written, thou shalt not leave his soul in hell. I've repeated that many times, but it's worth repeating all the time. But this is that city coming down. The kingdom of heaven is coming here. It's coming here for the millennium. But there's a certain bitterness to that kingdom. But it's going to, at the end, it's all going to be wiped away. Earth and the heavens are going to be renewed. And notice there's no more sea. I didn't mention that. But there's no sea. I suppose to some people that would be a great loss. A lot of people really love the ocean and the sea. But really, there will be many wonders in the new heavens and the new earth. People get so attached to one way the world is. It's interesting. We have all that conservation. But I've always been fascinated by fossils. All those creatures that used to be. And now they're gone. And we didn't have anything to do with them disappearing. There are so many more creatures that used to be, apparently, or at least that show up in the rocks. And I don't believe in looking into rocks for the truth, but there you have rocks and